Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
Hi, Mary Jane Popp here with another fun pop star talk from my archive. Now, if you ever long for a laugh a minute, then this episode should really get you going. Of course, my producer, Kenneth Segura Knoll, is with me to explore the life of comedian Rip Taylor, known for his exuberance and flamboyant personality and his flair for whatever came at him on stage, TV, and film. Now, he's no longer with us, but his character lives on. And also with us is radio host, film critic, and good friend Derek Zemrak to share some of his stories with this comic icon. Welcome, Derek. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You betcha. So let's start with you, Ken. I got to ask you, do you have your confetti with you? It's all part of that trademark for Rip Taylor. And it fits all that he did from the Ed Sullivan Show, the Jackie Gleason Show, and so many more appearances that it would take up the whole show just to mention them all. So what say you, Ken, about the confetti? Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah, and his facial expressions. He was always... amazing facial expressions.
Absolutely. And that big mustache and the toupee that he would always take off and, and you know, fan himself with the toupee. He always did all these crazy things. Now, Derek, before you share your stories, how would you categorize Rip Taylor other than a one of a kind?
Yeah. I mean, I always said, people always ask me, like, who's the funniest person you ever met in your life? And I always say, Charles Nelson Reilly and Rip Taylor. Mm-hmm. By far. And Dom DeLuise was right there, too. All three of those guys just had it. They were always on. I know in years that was we always can't be on. But in some aspect, they are on. And that they're just funny. They were funny individuals. So.
And, you know, I think it was a normal thing for them. Like Rip Taylor had a rather kind of tough childhood. So I think some of that comes out in sharing and making people laugh and feeling better about himself. And he had so many stories. I know you and I both did this interview together.
Right.
And we had so much fun with him because he was so honest and straightforward. And we didn't have to work very hard. Never do with a comedian. Ken and Derek, you both understand. All you have to do is say hello to a comedian, and they pretty much take over. And he was like that.
I would add to Derek's list Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah. Robin Williams, too. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I never met Robin. So I saw Robin perform once, but I never personally met him. So, but very funny also.
Now, Derek, I know you've got a couple of stories that you're going to share with us, but after you categorize him, and without further ado, let's listen to this man who made them laugh with a comedy every night.
Something familiar, something peculiar, something for everyone, a comedy tonight.
And this man is the epitome of that song. They call him the king of camp and confetti, but you know what? He fools them all with his comedy shtick because he's a legitimate actor, too. Now, he played Demi Moore's surly boss in Indecent Proposal. He plays Kate Hudson's dad in Rob Reiner's movie Alex and Emma. But Rip Taylor is so much more. And our film guy, Derek Zemrak, has invited him to pop off on Pop Off. Nice to have you both with us today, guys.
Darling, from Forum, I played that in the theater for a year.
Are you serious?
I played Soodalus. Then I did Peter Pan. I was Captain Hook.
Oh, you were Peter Pan?
I'm not illegitimate.
I know. You know what? I just love your work. And by the way, I got to do this, so just give me 20 seconds here, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rip, my love.
Diamond coupling preferred.
Your birthday is Monday, right?
I know it. You can send it early. I'm not impatient.
I just love your work. You are insane.
Oh, honey, it helps.
I know. But you know what? A lot of people, and Derek, I know you've done a lot of research on Rip, but I just did a little bit of reading. I had no idea. It didn't start out that way for Rip Taylor. It was a pretty rough start, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, everybody had that, especially Liberace. I found out how Liberace died, you know.
I know.
He had an impacted sequin. Did you know this?
Impacted sequin.
No, I'm not lying.
Are you really? No, come on.
There you go.
Really? Now you're just putting me on.
Mary
right?
Jane, you fall for everything. I love you so much.
I know. That's the reason I'm asking. I'm a legitimate talk show host. I gotta ask these questions.
I want you in the front row when I'm working, baby.
But you know what? How did you come about doing the comedy? Your act itself. How did it come to you?
Well, I was too nervous to steal.
Now it started for you as a pantomimist, though, didn't it?
Well, I'll be real brief, okay?
Yeah.
terrible childhood, all that automatically that goes. And then I got drafted in the Army, but I had to go to high school. So I got to high school, Washington, D.C. So I got a job as a busboy in the kitchen of United States Capitol Senate in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you poor thing.
Wait a minute. Then there was a vacancy, and I got myself to be, I asked the Secretary of the Senate if I could become a page in the Senate. He says, where are you from? I says, Washington, D.C. He said, well, no, it's not a state. You have no patronage.
Huh?
I said, well, Mr. Biffle, you could give me patronage. And I became a page in the Senate. And for 6 months, I got drafted in the Army on the troop ship. We're all throwing up. I was nervous wreck. So I heard this band singing over the radio, which they played all day long to keep us quiet. And I went in, and the radio announcer said, why don't you mouth the words of Mario Lanza? And that's how it started. I was mouthing Mario Lanza singing Be My Love, Pantomime, record Pantomime, put on a soldier show, got to Tokyo, went into special services, and the rest is history.
Derek, you know, this man has had such a variety of career.
Can you imagine all that? I can't believe it myself.
And more to come, by the way.
Oh, honey, please, I don't dance. This is it.
Derek, you know, he is just an unbelievable talent, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And he's so,
well, you're so
funny. You're so funny, Rip.
It's a gift if it is.
Well, you know, what amazes me is how you come up with anybody that gives you or throws anything at you, you've got to come back.
Well, you have to, darling. My goodness, I opened a halfway house for girls who won't go all the way. I mean, I'm not out of this business for nothing, for God's sake.
What about your one-man show? Now, it was a major success in L.A.
I had more fun than the audience, forgive me. It's called It Ain't All Confetti, and I did it, and they all came and all liked it. They sat through it. I was so amazed.
Now, where are you with putting this thing on Broadway?
Well, honey, I'm going to take it next season to off-Broadway in next fall, because I think it's about time. I asked my dear friend Cheetah, Rivera, you know Cheetah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
She'll open her mouth, tell everybody to come, and they'll all come, so that'll be fun. And they'll all expect me to be, you know, on 24 hours, which I'm really not.
Well, how can you
be boring if you're on 24 hours? But they know that then they'll know the story. And I got producers who want to do it. So that's in the wind.
Okay. That's cool.
Well, Rip, we think we should bring it up to Northern California.
Yeah. Why don't you?
Well, I'll go to Southern California, too. I'll go to Cleveland. I don't give a damn.
All right. We have to talk because I have theaters up here. So we got to get you up here.
Yeah.
Well,
Derek's,
I'd love to do
Derek's
that.
Got two
where,
theaters.
What town are you in, Sacramento?
I'm in Sacramento, but Derek's in the Bay Area.
Oh, good. Oh,
San Francisco.
That would be fun because that would be, yeah, they'd like it up there. I mean, it's not a sad story. It's about children.
Sure.
Right.
So what are you like at home? I mean, seriously, when you're not on.
Oh, no, I'm not on 24 hours. That would be very boring and no one would pay to see me.
Well, you get tired, too. How do you keep that energy level of yours up?
I think it's a gift.
Yeah, you think so? I think you're right. I think you're right.
It's a kid. Right. Rip, I remember one show when I was a kid that you had, was it the $1.99 beauty pageant or something?
$1.98.
Okay. Oh, it was more expensive.
Chuck Barris' dream, but it was just such fun to do. But I never, ever knocked the performers. I had the announcer be rude to the late, the heavy lady.
Was that before the gong show or after?
Pardon me?
Was that before the gong show or after?
Oh, it was during, because he had all of those shows.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he owned the whole batch, didn't he?
I wish he'd bring them back. It's such a fun thing to see now. Good God.
And you know what? It was more fun because it wasn't necessarily gross and dirty. You know what I mean?
It wasn't rude either. I was never rude. I said, oh, we let us dump coke. That's just,
yes.
You know, one of those things. And then I didn't say you a heavy lady and all that stuff. That's too easy to fall into that trap and be rude.
Yeah.
Right.
But why was it, you know, even Bill Cosby has said, good comedy is good writing and delivery, not necessarily gross words all the time, you know, dropping the F-bomb all the time.
I'm tired of that. I mean, it's so obvious and so silly.
It's like every other word.
They're all doing it and they don't mean nothing.
No, well, after a while, it doesn't mean anything. You know, once in a while, you're okay if you gotta, but it'll get your attention. But then after that, it's like, I don't hear anything else but that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Same as if they allow it. That's sad.
I know. Right. I know.
Well, Rip, well, you got
and the ones who do it are desperate anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Rip, you got an exciting documentary coming out, I understand.
Well, it took long enough to finish the darn thing. I had professional people, and it's been almost 2 years.
Really?
Wow.
You and I would have done it in an hour and a half if I know Jay. Back Jay, I know Clee.
Yep, I'm there for you.
You know, we're pros. We don't wait around. Well, it takes time, Rip. You play. Leave me alone. Don't stop lying to me. Fix the damn thing.
Well, you know what? Your life has been so diverse, so wild and crazy. I mean, I can imagine they don't even know what to put on and what not to put on.
Now, you know, I saw Billy Crystal's show on Broadway 5 years ago and again last month.
Mm-hmm.
And he did Record Pantomime, too, at the beginning. And the sad thing is I did it 20 years earlier, baby, so don't worry about that.
So are you
talking a little bit
like about it, he made it sound like it was the second coming of God. And please, and I love Billy, but don't give me this thing. Please.
Well, in the documentary, I mean, does it start from your childhood all the way to current, or is it just...
Yeah, it does. All the way to current. It clips and terribly sad things and then funny things.
Is it hard
It's not a pity party. I don't want a pity party.
Yeah, is it hard, though, to go back and relive some
of
that?
Oh, my God. We had to stop tape an awful lot of time because it hit me so hard, especially the abuse in high school of all the bullying.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just horrendous.
And isn't it sad that doggone bullying is still going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, it never stopped.
Amazing.
It never stopped.
So,
it broke my heart because every time I talk about it, it just hit me.
I'm sorry, Rip. I'm sorry.
You didn't bring it up, did you? But it does. And my last speech at the high school reunion was, I said, we didn't know each other in the halls that night. We don't know each other in the halls today.
Mm.
And we could have been friends all those years.
Yes. But you know what? Their loss, not yours.
Didn't say that. I just, you know, just left it.
But truly, it is their loss. Because you have made so many friends through the people that you've shared your life with on stage. They'll never reach that epitome. Never, ever.
God, I'm dying to meet Paper God.
Yes, I know. You're marvelous.
Yeah. Will you stop it? I'm getting moist again.
Okay, kissy, kissy. Okay. Philosophy of life. Do you have one?
Yeah, charge it.
Charge it?
That's it. Just charge. I had to think fast for that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
I made myself laugh. Please forgive me.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to explore that. Okay.
I don't know what it means either. I had to say something. It's the Mary Jane Show.
Okay, what motivates you?
I think it's not the desire to be loved or seen or heard. I just have to do it. It just comes out automatically. Not to push and be the front one to say, look at me. And God forbid that's not that. It just was a gift, I think.
Oh, yeah. There's
no mean-spiritedness in it. You know, it just pops out.
Well, you know, I have found, and tell me if you don't think this is true, a comedian, somebody who's a connoisseur of comedy like you are, can be a wonderful dramatic actor also.
Now, wait just a second. I know all those men at the Friars Club, all the old comics.
Yeah.
50% of them were the rudest men I've ever met in my life.
Really?
The meanest, mean-spirited people I've ever met in my life, and I can say that now that they're all gone.
No kidding. Who was the worst?
I've never been so hurt and surprised in my life as when I walked into the Friars Club.
Who was the worst?
I'm not going to tell you because they're all gone.
Well, they're all gone, so you can tell me.
No, you'll tell. I know your mouth.
No, well, you know, I got to share.
They hear your show. They'll hear your show wherever they are.
I think I know where they are for the most part.
I mean, unnecessarily rude. I mean, and they're unhappy. I was shocked when I met these people.
Yeah, wow. But you know what? I think a lot of them, because they lack the talent that you have. Because a dramatic actor...
Because it may have been a threat. I don't know why. I'm just saying that now,
yes,
but not at the time.
No, you were a threat, and I'll tell you why. Because a dramatic actor can't necessarily be a comedian. But you, as a comedian, you can be a dramatic actor.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. That's show. That's the gift we have. Yeah.
Yep. Boy, that is a gift that he has. And Derek, I know you'll agree. It's so interesting. I used to love watching him on Hollywood Squares. I don't know about you guys, but it was just incredible how he came up with all this stuff. It reminds me of the TV series called Whose Line Is It Anyway? And in talking to some of the people that have been on that show, including Jim Meskimen, I asked him, I said, you know, do they give you time to think about it or maybe let you know ahead of time what they're going to do? And he said, no. He said, they throw it at you. It's improv to the max. And that's what Rip Taylor was. You know, no matter what, you throw anything at him, he'd have an answer, which is unbelievable. So, but anyway, you had a couple of stories, Derek, you wanted to share with us?
Yeah. You know, Rip was always, he said on his interview that he wasn't on, but he was always on because I had dinners with him and, you know, just in social settings and where it really wasn't somewhere where you had to be on, but he was just a funny, funny person. And he always carried confetti in his pocket. And he would throw that out no matter where he was. It didn't matter. If you were in a restaurant, that restaurant got it. So,
well, and that whole confetti story, we'll probably get it from him too, but I thought it was fascinating because he actually was bombing on the Merv Griffin show.
Right.
His jokes were terrible. Everything was amazingly bad. And Merv Griffin was pretty popular at the time. I mean, he had all the biggies on. And so he just got so frustrated. He took his cards that he had and he just ripped them all up and threw them in the air and walked off the stage. And he thought, that's the end of my career. You know, I'm done. I'm not going to get any more jobs to do anything. That night, I guess the network was just inundated by phone calls that they love that crazy guy. Bring that wild, crazy guy back again. And his career launched. You never know what's going to happen, Derek.
No, you never know. And like I said, I got confettied by him numerous times.
Did you?
He just, you know, I think he thought the hair's big, you know, let's throw some confetti in there. I don't know what it was, but
yeah, that's amazing.
And the other thing is, you know, Rippet also did a children's program called Sigmund and the Sea Monster, which was, you know, from the Sid and Marty Krofft brothers show. It was in the Saturday morning show. And one time when they were on the sets, the Krofts, because we had done a Krofft Con in 2022. And both Sid and Marty were there, and Johnny Whitaker, who we've interviewed over the time, he was also on that TV show. But they always had a star that was also, you know, kind of bigger than life. And this time when they casted this TV show, the Sigmund and Sea Monster, they cast, you know, Rip Taylor. And then one time when they were on the set, there was actually a fire in the studio.
Ooh.
And the building basically burnt down. Well, he's in this green costume because he was like a creature kind of guy from the sea. And Rip supposedly, and Sid and Marty both told me the story, that he got so mad that he just stormed out of there and he walked all the way down Hollywood Boulevard in his green costume. And people are asking him, honking the horn, asking what's going on. And he goes, I'm done. I'm not doing any more of this. And he's walking all the way home in his green monster costume.
Oh, you know, I can believe that of Rip Taylor because he just was so open to doing anything and everything that made people laugh.
Right.
He didn't really care. You know, if you got it, fine. If you didn't get it, fine. It didn't matter to him.
And that's the thing is like, you mentioned before earlier that, you know, a lot of times, you know, people have the bad childhood, and that's kind of a characteristic of a lot of celebrities is early in their life they've had some traumatic things and they able to create something that they want to be in, so they're naturally are actors and performers because they're hiding from something. Now you go down the list, but all of them were extremely accessible, and he was very much similar to Charles Nelson Reilly. Had that same upbringing that was really bad. And, you know, these guys were told as they were going along that you can't be on television because you're gay. And the television does not want people who are gay, you know. Yeah. And they dealt with it. And, you know, they were pioneers to be able to open the doors for other performers. So.
You mentioned Paul Lynn. I got a quick story. Okay, it's off the subject of Rip Taylor, but I got to tell you, this was many, many years ago. I interviewed Paul Lynn, and it was for television. And he walked into the studio, and I swear it was, he looked like he had pajamas on. And I think he maybe 4 sheets to the wind when he came in the studio. But he sat down. He was so cordial, just a doll. But it was summertime, and I was wearing a sundress, and I was wearing sandals. And he was fascinated with my toes through the whole interview. And I'm going, oh, we're on TV here. You know, what are you doing with my toes? Well, you just have the most gorgeous toes. And he just went on and on a whole bit about my toes during the whole interview. They just were amazing people. Just amazing
talent. I mean, all of those guys in that era, they just, you know, they were classic comedy and able to do it on a dime and come up with stuff like that. Similar to Robin Williams, as you mentioned. I mean, he was amazing at what he did also, so.
Well, that reminds me of Ken. He's always has an answer for everything, don't you, Ken?
I don't know if I have an answer for everything, but I got an interesting fact about Rip Taylor that I found out.
Oh, okay.
Derek probably doesn't know this, but I was an extra in Easy Rider.
Oh, really?
That was my first exposure to movie making. Well, Rip was... I was pulled a knife on Dennis Hopper in the pre-production of the film. And according to Hopper, Torn was originally cast in the film, but was replaced by Jack Nicholson after the incident. How about that?
Wow. That is an interesting fact. I never heard that one.
Hey, you never know what goes behind the scenes, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, it was the scenes of that Easy Rider were shot in my hometown of Las Vegas, New Mexico. And I got to be an extra. I was 13 years old.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
12 or 13.
Yeah.
And my first exposure to filmmaking, I had never seen a movie being made. And that's where I got the bug.
I was going to say, you got hooked. Big time. But the other thing, too, is these comedians, they make us laugh, which is wonderful. But my question to Rip was, what makes you laugh? What makes Rip Taylor laugh?
A lot of things, but nothing in particular. And I don't wait all day long to find humor and everything. You know, it isn't one of those things. If I laugh at the gift, that I enjoy more than anybody else.
Okay.
Now, Rip, of all the stuff you've done, I mean, you've done voiceover work, you've done theater, you've done television, you've done motion pictures.
Isn't that amazing?
Which of the dramatic is actually your favorite? Which do you like the best?
The next
one. See, that's what I love to see, because so many people are always looking back. Don't you hate it when you run into people and go, oh, the best days of my life were when I was in high school or in college?
Yeah.
Get over it. It should be tomorrow.
Yeah. But you can't tell them that. They don't buy it. They don't believe it.
No, but what kind? That means they don't have a life.
And they want you. They want me on 24 hours, and I'm not on. I'm sitting in a restaurant a month ago. Women come over to my table and open one of those little artificial sugar paper, you know, sugar things like sweetener.
Yeah.
And poured it in my wig at the time I was needing it.
No, are you serious?
And the woman next to me said, you know, she put that in your hair. I said, you're kidding. I said, why'd you do it? She said, well, you do it to us on TV. That was all she said. I said, you see a camera in this room.
Amazing.
So I went over to her table.
Well,
four women.
Yeah.
Opened up a mustard jar, put a spoon of mustard in the spoon, put it very close to her breast. She said, you wouldn't touch it. I have to. I have to pour it down because you did it to my ring.
Did you?
I did not do it, but I scared the hell out of these three women.
Good. Good. They needed the lesson.
But I did it. They weren't laughing.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, they should have respect.
Well, I don't know about that, but good God, leave me alone. I didn't go to your table. You came to mine.
Right.
If you could go back.
I don't surmise that they know me because I walk in a room.
That's true.
I never had done that. No, that surprises me. I mean, I know because I don't dress to go unnoticed. Don't you dare forget that.
I won't. I promise. Neither do
I. That beast and that dead rat and the mustache. Are you kidding me? But hey. The point is, they know, you know, they know because they watch, they remember, you know, that.
You know, if you look back, is there anything you would change in your life?
I think I'd change. I'd add another day to the week. So I'd have more time to have fun.
Well, you've got plenty of time. Because
I hear how old I'm getting now from anybody else, I'm going to smack them.
Okay. am I going to embarrass you if I ask you how old you are?
Yes, you would. I don't want to say it because my mouth will get. I'll have a coronary attack.
Well,
I didn't think I'd live to be this old.
Hey,
oh my God.
Would you believe I'm not that far behind you? How's that?
No, stop it. Not with that voice.
Of course. Yes,
no,
I am.
It.
Yes, I am. But you know what?
I'm right behind you, too.
There you go. And see, Derek,
2 years.
You know how it looks? You know how it looks when you're behind a microphone? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll remember that.
You're sharing.
But I'm visual. I got to be on visually.
But even TV, see, that's what really ticks me off more than anything else about TV and films and everything else. It shouldn't have anything to do with the features, you know, the outside, the skin sag or whatever the heck they're looking at. It should be the talent inside that comes out and either makes you laugh or makes you cry.
Never is.
And it should be that. Because otherwise people are going to miss out on such talent. I mean that seriously.
So
Rip, when your documentary, when it's coming out on your birthday, correct?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Monday? That's Monday, really?
Monday.
Monday's a birthday. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh!
Now, have you seen the final cut?
No, they're going to show it to me on Monday afternoon. I'm going to a birthday little soiree tomorrow night with everybody and a few friends.
Oh, you know what?
Debbie and I still do our act together. We've done it for 30 years.
Give my love to Ruta Lee. I've done several interviews with her over the years.
Oh, I adore her.
And also Debbie Reynolds. I've interviewed her over the years, too.
We're funny. The best thing about Debbie and I is we don't care who gets to laugh, and that's very rare for two funny people.
But again, I think, you know, if you guys ever say you're going to retire, I'm going to be so ticked off, it's going to be unbelievable.
No. We don't know the meaning of that word.
I love it. Now, where can we see the documentary?
Well, I don't know. They're going to tell me tomorrow, next day, and you call, and I'll let you know.
Oh, would you? I will call you Monday, and then I'll let everybody know on the air.
Yeah, well, I won't know until Monday night. Call Harlan Bowl. He'll tell you. He'll know more than I will.
Harlan? Okay, I'll give a call to Harlan.
He'll know Harlan. More than I will. They tell him first, then they'll tell me.
Okay.
We got to get this movie up here in San Francisco, and we got to get your one-man show up here in San Francisco. That's our goal.
I think the show would be fun to do. When was I up there last? I did some television thing, the morning show or something.
Well, I'm telling you right now, you would have a packed house, and Derek and I will be right in the front row, won't we, Derek?
Oh,
right.
We did one of those AIDS things at the opera house or something like that.
Oh, yeah. When was that?
About 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago? Well, I'm telling you, you got to come back again. That's all there is to it.
Oh, I loved it. I just loved the place. Thank God I had such fun there.
Well, San Francisco, it's a unique place, right, Derek?
Yes, absolutely.
And
didn't Joan Fontaine used to live there, too?
Yes.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, all Carmel and then Pat, yeah.
All the best people lived there at one time or another.
It's just marvelous city. Yep. It's so full of vigor.
If you could pick out something that you want to accomplish yet, before you have to write your own epitaph, and I know you will, what would you like to do?
You know what my epitaph's going to be?
What?
R.I.P., R.I.P.
Uh-huh.
Rest in peace, Rip.
Aww.
Rip.
Rip, rip. I think I like that.
Isn't that funny?
That is so cool.
I thought so, too.
That's cool. Okay, so what do you want to do yet?
I want to do the play off Broadway, not on, and make them come and do more shows. If they come, I'll do more shows, you know, rather than have a limited engagement.
That's good. I like that idea.
Because a lot of them still don't know that I can walk and chew gum at the same time. Meaning be serious.
I know. And see,
and I'm not on earth to prove that I can be serious. It's just that the play is so interesting to other people. And I enjoy talking about it. I didn't know they would be interested when I first did it.
Of course they would be.
Well, I don't know that. I didn't know that. And I said, well, they come. Like every night when I went to the theater, is there anybody out there? And it was, thank God.
Oh, and they will always be out there for you, Rip.
Well, it was fun to do. That was fun. I was quite surprised that I got through it. And then I enjoyed doing it because I couldn't wait to hear what I was going to say next.
But that's the talent you have. You've got, I know, I bet you any money, you've got an outline, but it depends on your audience, right?
Yes, yes.
And you go with what's in the who's in the audience and
yeah,
how they respond.
Not, I'm not. It's not all funny. You see, it's all a different thing. The play.
But again, that's the important
part. It wasn't
part.
An act of jokes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. But and they need to know that side of Rip Taylor. They really do.
Well, I did. That's what made me say, "Is there anybody out there? Does anybody care? Does anybody give a damn? Do they want to know about the outside?" You know, that's what's like there.
And they do care.
Well, and they came, and I was surprised.
And you got to make a promise to me. Would you?
What, darling?
You've got to come back and visit with us again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, please, we're going to the head for you, Stafford.
And you bet. And the second promise is that at least you'll talk to Derek about coming back up to Northern California.
Well, I want Derek to keep in touch with me, too, because then I'll let you know when I'm doing it. He can see it. And why don't I, not right this minute, but to ask Harlan send him a DVD of the play.
Very good.
Cool.
Very, very good. And again, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. I was so looking forward to it. When Derek said, Rip
God.
Taylor's coming, I'm going, yes, I love it.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my God. Now, Derek, are you going to, if you get the play, give the address to Harlan, he'll send you a copy. Because you have connections with theaters up there?
Yeah, I own two theaters up here.
Oh, well, God.
He owns them. So it's not like the middleman here.
I didn't want to impose. I didn't know.
Oh, you don't impose it, Derek. He's you're an open guy, yeah. Right, Derek?
Eric, you have my number. Call me back, and I'll give you my address. You give it to Mary Jane.
Okay.
Absolutely. And again, thank you so very much. A very happy birthday to you. We'll have.
Oh, thanks, darling.
And I think I have you as a friend on my Facebook page. So I'm going to wish you a happy birthday. So there too.
Good.
Thanks so much, Rip.
Right.
God bless
happy
you.
Happy birthday, Rip.
Keep
thank
up.
You like both of you. Bye bye.
Keep up the good work. Bye bye.
Well, bye.
Oh my God, is he not? This is such a great guy. He is a great guy. And we did that interview, Derek and I did that interview in 2014. He passed away, Rip passed away in 2019. But did he ever get in touch with you with that documentary? Because I tried to find it and I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, he did. We corresponded for quite a while about the documentary specifically because I had the California Independent Film Festival, we were going to show it or at the theater or whatever we're going to do. And that, the guys he had mentioned in the interview that he didn't see the stuff, and they were always asking what took so long.
Yeah.
I don't think it ever got completely finished. I'm not sure, because he was very frustrated every time I would talk to him. He said, I still haven't got a copy, a final copy. I'm so upset. So I don't know whatever happened to that documentary. I looked a little bit online, and I couldn't really see too much about it. So
no.
It's our trailer.
Yeah, I did some research, same thing, trying to figure it out where it might be or whatever.
And any ideas?
Yeah,
you?
Oh, Ken?
No.
I do have a mea culpa.
Uh-oh. What?
It was Rip Torn, not Rip Taylor, on my story about Easy Rider.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
That picks the rips up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I was kind of wondering, because I was like, I can't pinch you, Rip Taylor was... an actor, but
yeah,
playing the Jack Nicholson role, it's like that was just a little bit of stress.
Do you know what Rip Taylor's middle name was? You'll laugh. And I know why he didn't use it. It was Elmer.
Oh.
Rip Elmer Taylor, you know. No wonder he just went by Rip Taylor. That was it.
But Rip can't be his name. Is that a nickname? How did he come up with Rip?
Good question. I don't, because it from the very beginning of the research that I did from his childhood, it was always Rip Elmer Taylor. So who knows? Maybe one of our listeners can email me or maybe Facebook, on my Facebook. Let me know if you have a story behind that and what his name is. Yeah, we should always invite people to do that. Come onto my Facebook page anytime you like and, you know, get a hold of me or Ken, for that matter. We're both available on that. But he's just, it's an icon. I miss him. Don't you, Ken?
I miss all these great comedians.
Oh, by the way, his original name was Charles Elmer Taylor.
Yeah, so.
So I don't know where the Rip came. Maybe the Rip, well, like he said on his tombstone, he wants to have Rip, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Oh, he always, what
yeah, I would just back to probably when he was coming up, maybe, you know, often they did that when they did with Pat Hunter and everyone else had a name that they put in that was kind of catchy at that time. So I think somebody came up with Rip.
They came up with some wild and crazy ones, and they had to be very careful because if somebody, and Derek, you can say whether this is true or not. If someone else had that name already, they had to change it slightly so that they didn't duplicate the other person's name. It was crazy time.
Right. Yeah. At least for the Screen Actors Guild, it was kind of difficult back then to figure out, like, okay, there's two, you know, Rip Taylors who gets paid and all that kind of stuff. So they really, you know, wanted to make sure people had individual names and you have to assign something else. So
now can pretty much people use their own names, don't they?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of, strange that Rip Taylor and Rip Torn both had rips on them.
I'll have to, we'll do a little research on that and find out why, how that all came about.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's somebody in the business that will know, that's for sure. Well, I guess that takes it to the end for our wonderful interview with Rip Taylor. And I want everyone to know some of these people because, you know, they're gone now. But you know what? Their comedy, their talent, their feeling for people and love for the stage and the work that they did, they were hard workers. I don't want that to be lost. And that's the reason, you know, Ken, that we do this, right?
Yeah, you know, I thought he would have been great in The Wizard of Oz. And then I found out he played in the Brady Bunch, I believe, in the show they did The Wizard of Oz. And he plays one of the characters in The Wizard of Oz in the TV show. But I thought he would be the perfect Cowardly Lion, I guess, you know.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah, that would be great. And Derek?
He might have played in Wicked on Broadway or off-Broadway or touring Nashville group. I think he played the wizard.
Yes, he did. Yes,
yeah.
He did.
Wizard. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So what are you up to these days, Derek?
Same old stuff, you know, doing movie reviews. Just went to see a couple movies in the last couple days and, you know, owning theaters and one theater now. Film festivals, curating programs, doing a lot of cabaret shows, not me performing, producing.
I love that.
We just had, you know, we've had everyone at the theater from Rita Moreno doing cabaret to John Lloyd Young, who won the Tony Award for Jersey Boys and also was in the Clint Eastwood with Jersey Boys. And so just a lot of stuff keeping, but yeah, you know, trying to pull back a little bit, you know, getting tired of going to events every single week. So
you're never going to pull back. Yeah. Ken's never going to pull back. I'm never going to pull back. We just, it's in our blood, you know.
Right.
We'll go to our graves in it, don't you think, Ken?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, folks. Well, that's about it for this edition of Pop Star Talk. We will miss this man who led an incredible life right up to the end, Rip Taylor. Thanks for all you do, Ken, to get Pop Star Talk produced. And Derek, what a pleasure sharing your time and reminiscences with us. Come back soon, okay? Promise?
Thank you, yeah. It was actually great to hear the old interview, so appreciate that.
Absolutely. I've held on to him. I didn't know why, but I was holding on to him. So. But anyway, I'm Mary Jane Popp, hoping that you enjoyed this walk back in time with so many more icons to come. Till our next time together, I always wish you this thought from Pop Star Talk. Live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and above all else, dare to dream.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.